G'day there folks, Paul here, signing in again for another video. Hello, welcome, thank you so much for taking the time to come and join with me as we continue our series on the writings of Luke, our snapshot series, where we're just going to look at a piece here and a piece there, going through the book of Luke, and also continuing on then into the book of Acts. And we are just getting started. This is, I think, the fourth video, and we are looking at Luke chapter 1. Today, where Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, verses 39 through to 56. So I think, if I may, if you haven't read that section of scripture recently, please just pause for one moment. Pause, quickly read through it, 2, maybe 3 minutes, and then come back. Wonderful. Thank you so much. So let's pick it up. Mary has received word from the angel Gabriel that she is going to bring forth a son, verse 31, and that she should call his name Jesus, and he will be called Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. She knows from this language, this is the Messiah, and he will reign over the house of Jacob, this is Israel, forever, and of his kingdom, oh boy, there will be no end. And the angel goes on to explain, as we see in verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. And therefore, the one that is born will be called the Son of God. Now, this would be a lot for anyone to take in, certainly for a young girl. We don't know how old, you know, 15, 16, perhaps, I don't know, it doesn't say. But it says then in verse 39, as we pick up the story, that Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste. And I understand this, the enormity, the weight of the news that has just come to her. The first thing she wants is to be with someone who might understand. And so she walks from Nazareth to the hill country. And even though it doesn't say in scripture exactly where Zacharias and Elizabeth lived, we know that they were reasonably close to Jerusalem. So we can estimate that what we're looking at here is probably a 4 to 5 day walk. I mean, not that that really matters though, right? She needs this fellowship. She needs this comfort, especially in these difficult times, just as we do. I mean, we all need to have an Elizabeth in our lives, don't we? Ladies, for you, another lady. Guys, for us, another guy. Someone to whom we can turn to, a trusted source for a listening ear, for prayer, for guidance, perhaps. And she goes on, and though it's not clearly written in the text, I just find it interesting that what we are seeing here is this beautiful meeting between the Old Covenant and the New, the Old Testament and the New, if I can say it like that. Zacharias and Elizabeth being of the priestly tribe of Levi. And of course, Jesus being now our high priest. Verse 41, as it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she spoke out with a loud voice. I love this. John, the baby in her womb, responds to Jesus even before birth, and the Holy Spirit here testifying of Christ. Divine confirmation of all that is being said and all that is yet to come. Verse 42, she, Elizabeth, this is, spoke out with a loud voice, saying, blessed are you, speaking to Mary, among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why? Why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Verse 44, for indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting surrounded my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed. Remember Mary? Yes, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which you were told, which were told to her from the Lord. And this beautiful confirmation, as I said, of course it's Elizabeth speaking, Zacharias is still mute. But Elizabeth here shows really beautiful humility in recognizing why. Why, she says, is this granted to me? How is it that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Even in her blessing, been granted a baby, a boy in her older age. Even in this blessing, she recognizes her unworthiness before the Lord. And we will learn as we go through this little by little, I pray, that we understand that, in ourselves, our own efforts, yes, unworthy before our Lord. But oh, Jesus, He alone is worthy and makes it possible for us to come to Him. And blessed is she who believed. Oh, yeah. Faith is commended. Faith is, by grace we are saved through what? Faith? Faith is commended. Mary believed God's word. Blessing comes when we trust in His promises. And then verse 46, Mary says something called the Song of Mary, the Magnificat. It's simply based on a Latin name. But my soul magnifies the Lord, which is where the name comes from. And my spirit has rejoiced, she says, in God my Savior, verse 47. And we're not going to spend too much time on this beautiful song, but this prophetic, beautiful song that she just sings from the spirit within her. It's reminiscent of what I know as Hannah's song. Hannah being the mother of the prophet Samuel. Now, Samuel was the prophet who anointed the first kings of Israel. And one thing that you will learn as we go through this about the New Testament, very little there is actually new. In the Old Testament, there are things that you will see called types in there and shadows. They are a shadow, examples of things to come. And if you think about it, really, the entirety of the New Testament was written using the Old to explain it, because the New Testament didn't exist, obviously, as it was being written. And so we see these beautiful words that I'm about to read through now, and they just flow. They flow so naturally, so beautifully from a grateful heart. And I love how she says that. My spirit rejoiced in God, my Savior. Even Mary calls God her Savior, showing her understanding of her own need for salvation. There's a lesson there for us too. Verse 48, for He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. And behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for He, this is God who is mighty, has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And Mary, like Zacharias, like Elizabeth, not wealthy, not powerful, not, you know, anything that we would know of her in the natural, but God chose her because of her heart. Unremarkable, but God. And we see her worship here. Focused where? On God. Not on herself. She's focused on God. Mighty and holy. And His mercy, verse 50, is on those who fear Him. From generation to generation, He's shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. And we see here again this word fear. Mercy on those who fear Him. Being the same as we saw previously. It's awe. It's reverence, to show reverential fear, respect for His holiness, His authority. In the same manner, I guess, similar perhaps. You know, we have electricity here. I've got lights on. I've got the computer going. The electricity. But if one of those PowerPoints causes a problem and I need to fix this, I'm actually going to get a sparky. I'm not going to fix it. Because I understand, though the electricity is around me always and it's working and it's great and it's fine, I don't need to do anything with it, but it can kill me. It can cause great harm. I respect it. I respect it enough to know that I shouldn't be digging into, you know, electrical wiring, not knowing these things. One of my teachers over the years, Chuck Smith, said, fear of the Lord, it's not a cowering fear, but that deep reverence that causes you to respect His word and His will above your own. And Proverbs 1, of course, says, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Food for thought. He has put down the mighty from their thrones, verse 52, and exalted the lowly. He's filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away. And this is completely then in contrast to those who fear and honor and reverence the Lord. The mighty, oh yes, the powerful, yes. They're being pulled down. They're being sent away. Don't be one of them, folks. Seriously, don't be one of them. Even if there's a desire for such, put it away. Let God be the one who exalts you. In verse 54, he, this is God, has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his seed forever, which refers to a promise made to Abraham all the way back in Genesis 17, an everlasting covenant, a promise that God made nearly 2,000 years earlier. And this promise now includes us. Yeah, we'll get to that in later videos. Grafted in. And then verse 56, Mary remained with her, this is Elizabeth, for about 3 months and returned to her house. So this is probably till about John's birth, I would imagine. You've got the 6 months and then three. Would have been an eye-opener for her. And then she returned home. All right, folks, we're going to pick it up from the next section, the birth of John the Baptist, as we continue on next video. God bless. I'm praying for you that these words come home into your heart and bring you closer to your Lord. Amen.